faults or not faults and positive and negatives, that's what we're here for. It's to love all of them. Having us be who we are in our jobs is only helping us. I mean, you don't have to be like a little robot. The way I'm feeling is okay. Meant to feel this way. There's nothing wrong with me because I feel this way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of I Am Christina D'Arcangelo. And I am so excited today to have my guest on, who not only is a friend and colleague to me, but also a board member to Affinity Patient Advocacy. Welcome, Steely. How are you today?
Good, Christina. How are you? Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate your time. This is great.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today and taking time out of your busy schedule to meet with me to talk about you. So why don't you begin by telling everyone your background and what you've been doing and, you know, your passions. It's not just about work. You know, you've listened to some of my podcasts before, so you know what to, you know what to say. So it's not just about work, because it's about the human nature. And it's also to show people at the end of the day, we are all the same. So go ahead, Steely, take it off.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Steely Doubler. Obviously, that is who I am. I started actually 1 year ago. This was my work anniversary at Proficiency. We are a simulation company. We do training for clinical trials and also patient education. And I also joined, obviously, the board, Affinity, or APA, back in December. So it's been almost a year with you guys as well, which is incredible. I am young. I graduated from University of Tampa in May of last year with my degree in biology, and I also minored in dance, which is also my little passion on the side. I love dancing. I grew up dancing and competing and all those sorts. I am grateful for being here because my passion really aligns with these patients. I mean, I've dealt with my grandma, my grandpa, myself, my parents. We all have our own issues and we're all patients ourselves. So it's been an incredible process to help other patients with their needs and their wants and their concerns, because they don't have people like us to support, they don't have family always like us to support them and be with them. So it is a pleasure to be on this board and with you here, Christina, to talk about this and be involved with this community.
It's so exciting to have you, because, you know, I think I've said this to you before, because I started my career very young too, similar to you.
Yeah.
And so I almost feel like the OG when I'm on meetings with you, because, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. And just a little bit, you know, I have good skin, thank God, because of the Sicilian side of my family. But seriously, there's so many things that I see in you that remind me of myself, you know, especially when I was younger, coming up, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say coming up, but, you know, there's a progression to career development. And that's what I mean when I say that. I just want to make sure.
Of course.
No one thinks I'm being
beginning in my career. So I understand that is, no, it's exactly coming up. I mean, and I get to see you, and it's a honor and privilege to watch or to see how you grew in the past and where you're at today. And hopefully my future can go in a similar direction. You know, it's a great to have a mentor like you on my side.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
Really great to have.
It's, you know what? I got to say, mentorship is one of the reasons why I'm so successful, because I've had amazing mentors. And this actually came up. I'm so glad you brought this up, because this came up when I was in Cali. I was back in San Francisco just for a quick 4-day trip, you know, Thursday back on Sunday. Thank God I can handle that still, you know, going back for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Each way is just terrible. But
jet lag.
It's just terrible. And because I lived on the West Coast, I immediately switch. Steely, there's no hesitation. I go back to the West Coast time in my brain.
That's incredible.
Because I love
it. I go out that way and I'm like dragging. I am like, I've been on the East Coast my whole entire life. And, you know, love the West Coast. Love seeing it. But I'm always like, oh, I'm so tired. It's like 9 o'clock and I'm dying.
You know what I used to do? Here's the tip I used to do. When I used to travel before I moved there, you know, in 2005, I used to keep my watch when I moved over, like when I would go over there to work for 3 or 4 days, I would immediately switch my watch to their time while on the plane. Now, it's a little bit harder to do when you have a smartwatch or whatever, you know, but when you don't have, you know, you don't have a smartwatch and you can manipulate a regular watch, a manual watch, then you start feeling like, okay, my body, you know, like you could take a little bit of a nap on the way over there to catch up on some sleep that you would have gotten if you were there already. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Then you have a leg up on your fatigue and you're already, when you pop down, you already know, okay, I'm on California time and it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon when it really should be 3. You know what I mean? That's what
That's
I do.
It's genius. I mean, and when I get on planes too, I'm like immediately, like the second it starts moving, I'm like,
yes.
I'm like snoring away.
Yes. Yes. So just try to like get yourself, you know, thinking like, okay, I'm you know what? I'm going to be on Pacific time very soon. I need to get myself there. I need to get acclimated to that time. Have a snack, you know, like something that's more like if it's morning time and you're going, something that's breakfast oriented, because think about it, it tricks your brain, right? Like
it's all the mentality. It's all your mentality.
Yeah.
The mentality for it, it will work out.
Yeah. So that's what I, you know, that's what I would suggest. Cause when I got over there, I was immediately back on the West Coast. And I was sitting down with my adopted Persian family over there and we were catching up and I was so happy because, my Persian pop's daughter, who's technically my adopted sister, she was there with her children and she has a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I love these kids. They're just amazing, amazing kids. And Tammy was asking me, she's like, Diark, it's just amazing. Like, you know, when I met you in 05, she was really young. She was in her early 20s when she met me in 05. And she's like, you know, this is what, 17 years ago, you know, and she was younger than that. I apologize. She was still in school. So yeah, because she's not that old yet. So I just did the math real fast in my head.
You're like, oh.
Oh, she was really young. I mean, she was younger than you now, Steely, like when I first met her. So yeah, because I remember she used to have friends over and all this stuff from college and she wasn't working yet. Yep. So, you know, we're talking about this and I said, and she goes, I just, you know, your success, like you just, it's been crazy, like watching, you know, APA and everything that's been going on, your brand, your podcast, like the magazine, like all this stuff. How did this happen? And I said, you know what? I've had really amazing mentors over the years, amazing mentors, her dad being one of them, who I consider my Persian pop. He is a PhD clinical scientist, Georgetown trained, worked for some of the largest pharma and biotech companies in the world, has worked on tons of FDA approvals, more than I have in my lifetime. And I've worked on quite a few. He's amazing, Farhad. He's so smart and he's so kind. And so I learned so much from him and I still do, Steely. Like I still ask him things to double check to make sure I'm on the same page with him. So mentorships are really key.
They are very key. I'm actually right now building my own little board of directors just to help move me across the way as I'm growing in myself and my career personally and mentally. But I already consider you one of them because you are such an influence on the direction I'm taking with my career and so early in it. I mean, you came in even before I was excelling at proficiency. So it's been a real honor to be working underneath you because it isn't, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let me tell you something. I have chills. I'm honored that you feel that way about me because you know me, I just go, okay, what is it you need? All right, let's get on, you know, whatever it is, you know, but you know, I also have to commend you for your bravery because, and maybe you're wondering, what do you mean? Why am I brave? Here's why. Because when you met me back in December and you joined our board, you had heard me speak at a conference where I was a keynote talking about patient advocacy in the UK, but obviously it was a Zoom type thing, which is really hard, by the way, to speak.
It is.
Like that.
You have to be like quiet and then hopefully jump in at the right time because otherwise, like someone else is talking over you and then it's all like, yep.
Yep. And then it's like, you know, when I did that keynote, I had nobody talking to me at all. Remember, I was delivering like a State of the Union address, if you will. I don't know what else to call it. And, you know, like And so I was like, God, I hope I'm not boring these people. And it was really early in the morning. It was like 9:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, you know, and I was like, I hope people are happy with what I'm saying. And I hope I've been impactful, which, you know, while I was talking, then I started getting like, you guys started like messaging and giving me hearts and stuff, which was really awesome. Cause then I was like, okay, I'm doing a good job here. Cause I'm talking about something controversial. I'm talking about the need for patient advocacy in traditional pharma and biotech. And why is this not happening? So like, this isn't like I was talking about endpoints and clinical structures and things of that nature, which, you know, that's not offensive. This could be, you know.
It's personal too, to your heart. I mean, it was a personal subject. So it's touchy too. You want it to come across the right way. You don't want it to be, you're right, controversial. You want it to be enlightening.
Yes. And like get people to wake up and kind of go, oh, okay, I hear her. I see her. I understand her. And so after that conference, you reached out to me like almost immediately on LinkedIn, if I recall correctly. And then we got on a call and we talked and I just was so impressed by you. And I was like, God, I really like her so much. She's so sweet. And she has her heart and mind connected, which is very hard to find sometimes at people. And I was like, okay, well, would you like to join my board? Because you seem interested in advocacy based on your backstory, which, you know, you told me and you opened up today in the podcast talking about, and you said, okay. And I was like, okay, all right, let's go. You know,
I had no expectation of that. I was like, oh, I just want to meet her, you know, connect and see what's like your life's about and your career. And you're like, I was like, sure, I'll be on your board. That sounds amazing. Let's do it. Like
it was amazing, but you were brave. You know what I mean? Because like you said, you were like, I just wanted to talk to you. I had no expectations. And you reached out to me of this CEO of all these companies and stuff. But you know what? Also, that points to the fact that I am very approachable as a human. Like, so what? I put on my, you know, today I'm wearing a tank top, right? Like in traditional pharma, I would never do something like this, right? Like show up to a podcast or something like this, dressed like this, because I would think like, oh my God, people are going to judge me. Well, I don't care because listen, this is who I am as a human. I'm very approachable. If I feel like wearing a Nike tank top, because that's how I'm feeling today, that's camo, then that's what I'm doing.
You feel comfortable. I mean, that's what you should feel like. You should be comfortable in your own skin, in your own clothes. I mean, that's how you work best. I work best in my PJs, like all the time. And I'm like, oh crap, I have a meeting. Let me put on my little shirt, even though I'm like still in my pajama pants.
Yeah, it's great. And then the dogs come by, you know, it's like, hey guys, you know, I mean, we've luckily, if the pandemic hasn't taught us anything at all, which I'm sure I hope it's taught people a lot, but that you just come as you are, you know, we had to adapt. Like we had to bring people into our homes, so to speak, daily and work, you know, many of us were working on FDA approvals for COVID and projects supporting COVID and the capacities that our companies were working on, right? Us, everybody, we were working on. And we were working around the clock. There was no slag, we just did what we needed to do because this is a pandemic and we need to, you know, we have to be crisis oriented. Yeah. And we kind of learned that, look, it's okay if your kid comes by or your cousin was over because your parents had them over and some little cousin kid is over there yelling with a matchbox or something. That's just how it is. Like, and we had to adapt to that. And I think that what that should hopefully have taught us and continue to teach us is that we are who we are, regardless of our job.
Yep. And that's how it should be, though. I mean, that is, and having us be who we are in our jobs is only helping us. I mean, you don't have to be like a little robot. I mean, I think in the past, everyone was trying to be this little robot. You go to your job, you're supposed to act a certain way, which you should still have proper
decorum.
Exactly. But you could be yourself. And like, that's what's making all these companies so great is all these people being themselves and being in their own homes with their own families. And that's, you should be able to take care of your son. I should be in your dogs. I should be able to take care of my dogs.
Yeah.
Have them bark and not be like embarrassed and turning off my camera. Yeah.
No,
that's life.
No.
I mean, it's great. That's who we are. I mean, I'm a dog mom. You're a dog mom.
Yeah.
It's who you love.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And then we, you know, not being embarrassed by it, you know, like so many times we're embarrassed by stuff that's outside of our control and it is what it is, you know, and like, think about all the patients that now see us who we really are, right? Like people like us, because yeah. we're not behind this closed door in a boardroom talking, you know, like, no, that's not it. We meet them where they are, wherever that is, whatever's going on, because a lot of times when we talk to these patients that we're advocating for, they tell us things that they don't always tell their family because they don't want to be complainers, right? And sometimes some of the things they tell us, they don't realize are even important. Like, for example, saying that they have tingling in their fingertips. Well, yeah. That's really important if you're having tingling in your fingertips and you're talking to me about an indication that you've been diagnosed with that has nothing to do with tingling of the fingertips. That means there's something else wrong, and therefore they're triggered by something. And so our job is to listen and to really guide them then by telling them, okay, this is, you know, I listen, I'm hearing all these things. I think that you might want to consider talking to your physician about this or that and ask for these kinds of tests so that you can truly figure out what's wrong with you. We listen, you know?
Yep.
And I think, like, even with this pandemic stuff, we've been taught we have to listen better, right? Because
yes, most definitely.
Right?
We have to. So, for example, my grandpa, back when he was alive and he had cancer, he had a brain tumor at the time. We didn't know. He used to play Sudoku puzzles, crossword puzzles, and for a couple months, he didn't play them. He didn't tell us why. Well, he couldn't do them. He had a brain tumor. He physically couldn't. He didn't know how. And he didn't tell us because he was embarrassed. I mean, even though we were easy to talk to, doesn't matter. He was embarrassed because he's thinking he's dumb. He didn't know.
Right.
Like, oh, your cancer came back, and it's a brain tumor. And he ended up leaving 2 years after that. But it is. It's just the simple little things, that tingling your fingers, learning how to pour your bowl of cereal, not being able to have the strength to do that. Something simple that it's almost embarrassing to your family members or whoever else, but we're easy to come to. We're someone that's separated from them, that's going to support them no matter what. You don't have to be embarrassed to come to us. That's what we're here for. That's what we do. I mean, it's a pleasure to be able to have such sometimes closed-minded people, because some people, they can't even go to their family because they're not supportive. They will be like, oh, you're just dumb. What the heck's wrong with you? But they don't understand medicine or diseases or therapies like we do. So they can come to us and be like, hey, this is happening. I know it's simple, might be stupid, but nothing's ever stupid. That's why they come to us for that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to tell you something that I haven't told anybody yet. That's very similar. And you're going to be, I think, a little shocked by this, because obviously I could talk about a lot of things and, you know, I advocate for all these patients and that we work with and, you know, anybody else that we work with, but including myself and my son. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, there are certain things that I have that are tics, I would call them. So I don't like to be, which is going to be weird, I don't like to be in a group like of 1,000 people. I could get on the stage and talk to 1,000 people. No problem. I've done that plenty of times, but I don't want to be down in the pit with all these people. Like, I don't like it. It makes me feel, I don't like
nervous,
it. Nervous, yeah. Claustrophobic. I don't like it. I don't like people touching me. I don't like any of that. Right. I don't like loud noises. I'm very funny about my food. Like, I only eat certain things at a certain time and certain kinds of food when I feel like it. I don't like loud noises. I don't like a lot of light. So I have a lot of these things, right? These tics, that's what I call them.
Yeah.
So I've had this my whole life, obviously, right? And I was always...
No one would ever know.
Right. Nobody knows. But like, people close to me knew, right? Like, you know, my mom would criticize me. Like, how are you going to live with people if you don't like people in your space? How are you ever going to get married? You know? And then when I was with my ex-husband, these things annoyed him because I didn't like people staying in our home. It's not that I don't like having people visit me, but it just made me nervous. Like, even my father, when he'd come and visit me in Cali, and you guys know I loved him more than anything in the world. After 2 days, I was like, you got to get the hell out of here. Like, I'm ready for you to go home. You know,
yeah.
This was me. Okay. And I was open about this with certain people, right? So I recently took a test because I've been working on autism for how long? And my nephew, my favorite nephew, I probably shouldn't say that, but he really is my favorite one. he has Asperger's and he's studying pre-med at Pitt and is almost done already. He's gotten done 2.5 years in college. He's almost done already. And then he's going to move on. Yeah. He's amazing. Like super smart, a programmer. He sells games. Like he programs games for like $40,000, you know, like he's just
genius.
He's an amazing kid. And so we were wondering, my sister and I, like, where did this come from? You know, because it didn't happen on his dad's side of the family and we're friendly with them. So they would tell us, you know, where did this happen? So I thought, you know, I've always kept this in the back of my mind. So about 3 weeks ago, I took a test that was like a, you know, an EPRO kind of test. A validated test. And I came back spectrum.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it's not like because your personal feelings didn't feel that way. It's not like you wanted to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how your brain works. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. I mean, it's actually joy. It's what makes us all diverse and who we are.
And it kind of makes sense now, right? Like for you to go, oh, now I get why she can go here, there with her brain. Like, because you guys always say this to me, like, how do you do this? And I thought I was just ADHD because I am ADHD. Yeah. I thought that's what it was. But in actuality, and I'm going to get some more testing, of course, but come on, I know what I have. I'm not going to validate myself to the medical community when people think I'm a doctor anyway, half the time. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not being cocky.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. But here, this is what I discovered 3 weeks ago. And you know what? I called my ex-husband up and I told him that I took a test and I said, listen, remember when you used to get really mad and yell at me about all this stuff and I was rude and this and that, Well, guess what? I couldn't help it. And I kept telling you I couldn't help it. This isn't something I choose to be. I don't want to be divergent on purpose. I mean, I can't help it and I needed support. And listen, this is where I am today. So I just wanted to let you know that. And, you know, I'll be getting Christian tested as well, just because he's similar to me. And behavior. And I want to make sure if that's the case for him, let's do that now so that I can put the proper support structure in place for him that he already has one, obviously, for the diagnoses he has thus far. But let's get this fixed out for him, too. So he's not 46 years old. That's how old I am now. And you figure this out at 46.
Yeah. And he'll have that proper support system to know either way, whatever it goes. Okay, the way I'm feeling is okay.
Yeah.
I'm meant to feel this way.
Yes.
And it is okay to feel this way. It's nothing wrong with me because I feel this way. No, exactly. It is very important. I mean, and he luckily enough has a mother like you to support him and he can be open to you and express how he feels or even not express. Because sometimes when you're a kid, you don't know how you feel. You're experiencing emotions then and there, and you don't know how to discuss them. Well, he has a mother to help support him when he does, which is amazing.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, I just wanted to share this with you because when we were talking about, I wasn't intending to bring this up, but when we were talking about people and like they don't say things to their families and stuff, I thought, you know what? What kind of hypocrite would I be if, you know what I'm saying? Like, because eventually this would come out anyway.
So I appreciate you telling me because that is something I feel very lucky that you trust me enough to come open, be open enough to say that to me because it is nothing wrong with it. It is actually beautiful that you are like that. I mean, that makes you unique, you know, and that makes you be able to have all these amazing thoughts, even though that some of them might not be what you choose, but
it
encourages the other ones that are great as well. So makes you. It's amazing.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. And thanks for allowing me to share that with you.
Of course.
Because it's not every day that I talk about stuff like that. You know, I talk about the autos all the time, you know, because that's like I've accepted it, you know, that since I got diagnosed in 18 and I've made some big strides on that side. And so now it's like, okay, I'm going to get this confirmation, even though I know it is what it is. just from a paperwork perspective, I guess, because it's healthcare in America, we have to do this. I feel empowered now. Like, at least I know, right? I didn't know all these years. I knew something. I was different. I always knew I was different. And like, people would get offended, you know, like, because sometimes I talk really loud and I couldn't help myself, right? And I would say, listen, I'm so sorry. I wasn't screaming. I just got excited about stuff. You know, that's
who I am.
Yeah, my dad was the same way. And like, I think about some of his characteristics and I'm like, oh.
You're like, that's where I get it from. Yep.
Yes.
Hey, but it's okay. I mean, your dad was your role model. And even with those little tweaks that he may have had or whatever, you still loved him anyways, because that's what it's all about. I mean, faults or not faults and positive and negatives, that's what we're here for. It's to love all of them, you know?
I think that's awesome. And, you know, thank you for saying that, because, you know, you and I could talk forever, but I think, I think this is a great way for us to close this episode, because it's important for people to accept who they are for who they are, regardless of what other people think.
Yes, and, most definitely.
You know, and just stand firm in that, and then know that there are people like us that it will accept them regardless. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. We're here for them. And like, that's like the message I should have said to myself, Steely, honestly, I don't know how long ago, you know, and maybe I should have talked to like Dr. Donner more about this stuff, because it really does bother me. And I just didn't even tell him. And, you know, he's one of my leading physicians that helped me, you know, constantly. And I respect him and treat him like a brother, you know, and I didn't even tell him, you know. And
if we only took our own advice, you know,
exactly.
A lot easier if we took our own advice.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for being on today and sharing yourself with all of everyone who views us and also watches us, listens to us, all of the same things that, you know, people, how they get to us, you know, through the podcast channel. So I really appreciate you joining us today. And, you know, thank you for everything you do as a person, you know, not just because of APA, just in general, Steely. Like, I liked you from the beginning, like the first engagement with you. I was like, oh, she's awesome. I just love her. And, you
know, well, I appreciate that, you know, because you don't always go out there and be like, okay, what am I doing wrong? You know, you're in a new world, you're trying to impress people, but just being yourself is sometimes the easiest way to do that.
And that's what you did.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Christina. I appreciate everything that you're doing yourself and here today. You know, it's been absolutely amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Steely. And with that, remember, we are the same. I am Christina D'Arcangelo. Thank you for joining us today and every day.